You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Have you heard about the new and living way by which we can come into God's presence? Well, that's what we're talking about on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. Let's pray. Father, thank you for providing a new and living way to a relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask that you would open our eyes to the mysteries and the beauty of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's Dr. J. Vernon McGee with our study of Hebrews 10 on Through the Bible.
Now, friends, here in this section of Hebrews, we are seeing the greatest division that's being made in the Word of God. The fact of the matter is, it's like a Grand Canyon that is being put now down between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And let's remember, God gave both of them, but now He says this, and I'm going to drop back to verse 9 to pick this up. He says, He taketh away the first, that is, the first covenant, that He may establish the second. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross, that was something that happened. The veil was rent in twain. No longer were men to come by the sacrifice of the blood of bulls and goats. But now the Lord Jesus has done something in His own body for you and me. Verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. Now, not for all, it was for all, but the emphasis, He did it one time so that sacrifices are to end. And it's been interesting that ever since the destruction of the temple in 70 AD by Titus, there has been no bloody sacrifice offered there. And there's not one being offered today, and the prospects for one to be offered is very dim at the present moment. So that He took away the first, that He might establish the second. Now, I do not know how to overemphasize this, because I don't think it can be overemphasized. You see, with that first covenant, there were certain rules and regulations given. That old covenant was made up of a law, and a law that had a great many details. In fact, the ceremonial law, all the details that had to do with sacrifices. And then there were the Ten Commandments, and then there were other commandments that were given, and they were rules. And you know that the characteristic of human nature is that appeals to human nature, rules and regulations. Actually, men love rules and regulation. You see, they feel it's easy to obey rules. And that's the reason that so many people say today, oh, the Sermon on the Mount is my religion. They really don't know what it says or what it means, but they like it because they got rules there, and they try to kid themselves in that they follow them. And the whole history of man will prove this. It demonstrates it. And all these cults and isms and religions that are springing up today are made up of that. Rules and regulations. You follow a certain little ritual. Now, the thing today is that we're under an altogether different system. And the very interesting thing is, Paul had mentioned this before when he wrote to the Corinthians. He said to them in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, or the New Covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now, some strange individuals have come up with a novel interpretation that this means you ought not to study the Bible, and that it's the Spirit that giveth life, and that the letter here means the Word of God. Do you know that that's not what Paul's talking about? If you'd read the next verse, verse 7, he'd make it clear what he meant by the letter. But if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious. Now, we know what the letter is. It was the Ten Commandments. Now, he says the Ten Commandments were a ministration of death. And the law kills. The law never saved anyone. It'll kill you, friends, because it brings you into the judgment of God. It's the Spirit that giveth life. And you and I are living in this day when the Holy Spirit is the one that regenerates, the Holy Spirit leads us, and the Holy Spirit shows us the will of God. Now, let's follow through here where we were to begin today. We have certain privileges now. And notice what he says, having therefore, brethren, boldness. And this is boldness of speech, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, how do we get in there? By the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And when that veil was rent in twain, it was when Christ was crucified on the cross, and it indicated the way to God was open. Now, that ought to tell us something. The word here that is translated flesh, we are told here, a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, through his flesh. Now, that's the same word that you find in the prologue of John's gospel where he said the word became flesh. But he didn't say anything about a new and living way open to God, because the incarnation, the life of Christ, saves no one. It is now based on the death of Christ, you see. It's through the veil, that is to say, as flesh, we enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, our right of entrance is through not his incarnation, but it was through the rending of the veil. And that veil was his flesh, through his death. And you and I can only worship God through not the incarnation, or not through the life of Christ, but through the death of Christ for us on the cross. And friends, that's so important that I think I've said it now half a dozen times, and I think I'm going to say it another time, maybe several more times. Now, this is called here a new and living way. And that new is newly slain, newly slain. In other words, it speaks of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has opened up for you and me to God a new and living way, and that's through his crucifixion. That's through his death upon the cross, you see, newly slain. These old sacrifices, they just won't help you anymore, friends, at all. Now we come to something here that I feel, frankly, is very, very important indeed. And will you notice, he mentions here that we have these privileges. Now he mentions another privilege, verse 21, and having a high priest over the house of God. And that's a wonderful privilege that we have today, that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Now, this is a great encouragement for us, and this is very practical now. We have this privilege, and this is an invitation not only to the saved, but to the unsaved here, and some believe it's primarily to the unsaved. I think it's to both, by the way, and this is through this new way, freshly slain. The sacrifice of Christ never becomes old. And Martin Luther made this statement concerning it. He says, it seems but yesterday that Jesus died on the cross. How wonderful. Now, through that veil. When Christ dismissed his spirit, the veil of the temple was torn in two. And you and I today have a high priest that's yonder at God's right hand for us. So what are we to do? Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. And this has to do, the priests were dedicated in the Aaronic priesthood, the members of the tribe of Levi. Remember, Moses did that. He sprinkled on them water, and that was the water of dedication. And their bodies, you remember, he washed them. They had to be washed. And that denoted that they were set aside for the service of God. This is, I think, a very wonderful thing for us to note here, a dedication now unto God that enables us to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Now, this full assurance of faith, or as some have put it, in fullness of faith, actually doesn't have anything to do with the amount of faith, but it has everything to do with the object of faith and that which is real faith, by the way. It's always the object of faith. Faith can be misplaced. You can put your faith in some individual down here and be disappointed. It's not just that you believe there's a God. That doesn't mean anything at all other than you're not an atheist. But it means that not only should you have a knowledge of it, to know the way of righteousness, but that by faith you've acted upon it, real faith. That is, that you have actually received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, that's been made very clear to us. He came unto his own. His own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the exousion power, to become the sons of God, even to those that don't do any more nor less than simply believe in his name. Now, faith in Christ is to receive Christ. That's what it means, to receive him. In other words, faith is action that's based on knowledge. God never asks you to take a leap in the dark. I disagree with that theologian who said faith is a leap in the dark. If it is, don't leap, friends. You may find yourself going off of a 10-story building. So don't leap in the dark. God has put knowledge. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God has put down a foundation. No other foundation can any man lay, that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You get on the foundation. That's knowledge. But it's faith that puts you there. Faith is action that's based on knowledge. And that means to trust Christ personally as your Savior. Now we're told here, let us then draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. That means that today you and I are a member of a priesthood. One of the great truths that John Calvin recovered was the priesthood of believers. Every believer is a priest, and you can come to God today with boldness of speech. So many people ask the preacher to pray for them, and they send in prayer requests. We follow them. We believe in it. But the thing I'm trying to say is you have access to God. You have as much right in God's presence as I have or anyone else, because we come in the name of Christ today, and we can come by the blood of Jesus Christ. He's made this newly sacrificed way for us. And it's on that basis that we come to God. Now, we're told, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he's faithful that promised. Now, we are to draw near. Actually, faith here has the thought in it of hope. Let us draw near to God, but let us hold fast our confession of faith. Why? Because we've got a hope, and hope is for the future, you see. how wonderful this is. And we find now that we can come near to God and in the full assurance of faith, and also we can hold fast the confession of our faith. We have a hope. Why? Well, it's been put like this. So near, so very near to God, we cannot nearer be, for in the person of His Son, we are as near as He. So dear, so very dear to God, we cannot dearer be, for in the person of His Son, we are as dear as He. We are to draw near. We are to hold fast. Now, we have a third thing here. And let us consider one another to provoke. And we get our word paroxysm from that. And that literally means with a view to excitement. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Do I annoy you? Some Christians write me and say, oh, you have troubled my conscience. I hope I've troubled your conscience that you love one another and that your trouble that you need to do some good works for God. And He says now, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much as we see the day approaching. If there ever was a time when believers need to come together and gather together, it's today. Instead of chopping each other down, why, we need to be drawn together in love around the person of Christ and exhorting one another and studying the Word of God together. Actually, God has something for a group that He'll not give to anyone individually. One of the reasons I like to teach the Word of God, and I'll let you in on something right now, and you won't tell anybody, I hope, I trust you won't. We'll keep this a secret to ourselves today, and I'm just telling you, you're the only ones I'm telling about this. And a reason that I like to teach the Word of God, because God won't let me grow in the knowledge of the Word unless I share it, you see, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. So when they have Bible study down at your church, be sure and be there, because there's a blessing there for you you can't get in studying the Bible by itself. Now we've got something here that's quite interesting. I have this in my notes. We're to draw near in faith, that is faith toward God. We're to draw near in hope, that's for ourselves, you see. We're to hold fast our profession. Draw near in love, that's for others. And so you have here faith, hope, and love again. How wonderful this is. And the day approaching, actually, I think meant here to these people, Hebrews, the destruction of the temple. The temple was to be destroyed. And then where are they going to meet? Well, they've been going to the temple. Even Peter and John went up to the temple. They were there on the day of Pentecost, you know. And they went up there afterward. That the beautiful gate of the temple is where they met the impotent man. But where are you going to meet now? Well, what he's saying, as you see the day approaching, when you won't have a place, just keep meeting together. And the church started off meeting in homes, by the way. And why, as they see the day approaching, now we come here to another danger signal. This is the fifth danger signal that he puts down for us. And this is the peril of despising. And this is the most solemn warning of all. Listen to him now. This is very important. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Now, friends, this is something here that's very important that you and I get a hold of it today. If we sin willfully, now that means to go back to the sacrifices after Christ had come. That means we're acting as if He had not died for sins at all. That means that we're attaching no value to His death. Now listen to Peter in his second epistle, chapter 2, verse 21, what he said. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. In other words, some of these people, they made only a profession of faith in Christ. They were not born again, and they pretended that they were. And to make sure for themselves, they kept going to the temple and offering a sacrifice. And he's going to say some pretty serious things here to them. In other words, they really were not trusting Christ. They were acting as if he hadn't come and died on the cross at all. And as a result, they're guilty of unbelief, and that's willful sin. These are not Christians, therefore. In other words, there's nothing between the sacrifice of Christ and his coming but judgment. He's not coming to die again. Listen to him. Verse 27, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. In other words, friends, if Christ, when he died 1900 years ago, if that wasn't adequate, then there's nothing adequate. And therefore, there's nothing in the world for you but judgment. Now, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. That's verse 28. Now, that was under the law of how much sore a punishment. Suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Now, that is probably the most solemn statement there is in the Word of God. You can't find anything. Wherewith he was sanctified, that is, refers to Christ, the Son of God, and they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. How? To treat the death of Christ as inadequate to settle the sin question and to go on as if he had not died is to treat the blood of Christ as a despised thing. Privilege creates responsibility. And if you've heard the gospel and turned your back on Jesus Christ, my friend, somebody should tell you, you're going to hell. That's what the Word of God says. I didn't say it. That's what the Word of God says here. Nothing in the world but that. Verse 30, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. And you can write that down. God will judge you. I don't care who you are. You're going to come up before God for judgment. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Now he is speaking to these ones personally, and it's a personal word to the Hebrews here. He says, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. You see, if you're going to come out for Christ, then you come out for Christ. The proof of your faith is in the life that you live, my friend. That demonstrates it. And here, Paul reveals that, by the way. He says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. And you see, he's talking now about rewards. That confidence is boldness. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. And again, a very wonderful verse. Patience. You see, he's saying to them, tribulation worketh patience. Now we're going to finish this chapter. We'll have to save that till next time. And we'll move on from there into that glorious 11th chapter that many call the catalog of the heroes of faith. We have another name for it. We'll see that next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Well, we got great journeys ahead of us through the Bible in 2025. If the Lord's prompting you to stand with us in prayer and financial partnership, click on Donate in our app and online at ttb.org or call 1-800-65-BIBLE. And thank you for investing your heart in God's Word and for your prayer partnership in taking the whole Word to the whole world. We'll do this, Lord willing, till Jesus comes again. Wouldn't it be great if it's in 2025 that He calls us to meet Him in the clouds? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Here's wishing you a wonderful new year.
Jesus made it home, unto Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
Our story on the Bible Bus today is just one step in a five-year journey through the entire Word of God. Come along for the ride, and you'll study both the Old Testament and New Testament, discovering God's great redemption story. Is this your story, too?
Hi, fishing enthusiasts. Want to watch a local fishing show here in Brevard County in your home waters? Look no further. Go to YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show and watch all our shows, ranging from freshwater to saltwater. You can leave a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and we sure would appreciate it. Remember, YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show. God bless.
Thank you.
You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Praise the Lord to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is to all our faith partners and radio listeners. I pray that all is well and your hearts are in tune for the Word of God. I want to wish all of you a happy new year. I am Minister Gloria Ross of New Life Assembly in Melbourne, Florida. It is our pleasure to present to you the Lord Jesus Christ, who's able to save your souls. And Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and he will give you rest for your souls. Isn't that wonderful news? That's good news. Our church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida, 32935. And our P.O. Box is 2303 Melbourne, Florida, 32902 for any correspondences. The church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Now, here is Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord once again. We thank you, Mr. Glory, for giving that address in terms of the location of the church as well as the upcoming year. You know, we thank the Lord for the opportunity because each and every day, he lets us see a new day. And the Bible tells us that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall all rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God. So we will be glad in it, regardless of the circumstances and situations that's going on in our lives and others out there in radio land. Well, today we want to talk about loving not the world, because many people today, because of holidays and and all other things that developing, that they begin to love what they have. You know, I was yesterday or the day before, I was thinking, and what came to my mind is that a lot of times we don't realize that we have idols in our lives, and God is a jealous God, and he doesn't like us having idols. And what happened is that a lot of people have idolized a lot of things, and they don't really were aware of it. And I was sitting thinking, I said, wow. I said, you know, idols are so common, and the enemy is so clever. I said, what he does is that he'll have you to idolize different things, and before you know it, you have an idol that you've made up, and he is standing between you and God. And I tell you, when you have an idol in your life, you cannot see focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and the Bible tells us that in the day that Uzziah, he was able to see the Lord, you know, in that day, because what was standing between him was it was an idol. Anything that stands between you and God is an idol. So we don't have to idolize anything or anybody. We have to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at what the Word of God says. Apostle Paul was speaking in Romans 12 and verse 1 and 2. He said, I beseech you, brethren. He's talking to the church. He's talking to you and me and all others. And what happened is that we allow certain things to come in between us and God. And what happened is that God doesn't like it. We shouldn't like it, because what's happening is that he's standing in between us. And that's why in Isaiah, when the Word of God says that in the day King Uzziah died, I just said, I saw the Lord. You know, so when you have someone standing between you and God, you can't see clearly. And what happens is that they become an idol. And an idol is something that, we are worship. Innocently, it's being done. And really, and purposely, people are doing it. And they don't care. But I want to tell you today that Apostle Paul was telling us that we are not to love the world. And a lot of things that's going on in the world, we love. So he said, I beseech you, brethren. He's talking to us as children of God. By the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. That you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And love not the world, nor the things of the world, but we are to love God with all of our heart. So he says here, be not conformed. In other words, the world is always or constantly trying to conform us into its image. You can see what's going on today where a lot of children are changing their identity and the enemy's using all kinds of things so that you can idolize yourself. It's not about you. It's only about the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happened is that they're trying to conform you. But Paul, Apostle Paul, was writing to the church of Rome, and he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our minds must be renewed, because when we were born and we grew up in adulthood, and what happened is a lot of things came into play. But we don't have to allow those things to manifest themselves in our lives, because we are children of God, and the Word of God is telling us that we are not to allow these things to come into our lives. So he says, and be not conformed, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So everything that we're doing as a child of God, we are to constantly be aware of it and renewing our mind according to what the Word of God is saying to us. You know, many things that have taken place that the enemy has brought things in between us and God. What I want to tell you this morning, listen, the one that's on the inside of us is greater than the one that's on the outside. And the Bible tells us that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. We know that the devil is in the world, and the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. And therefore, we have this spiritual strength where we can push aside all these things that appears to be strong and that keeping us from functioning as a child of God. So not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So our mind plays an active part in what I'm talking about, but the blessings of the Lord comes through being in the spirit. Praise God, being in a spirit. Because in Psalms 119, verses 135, it tells us that the entrance of thy word is light, and it gives understanding to the simple. So what happens is that we're just simple people. We're not measuring ourselves with other groups or anything like that. We dare not try to do that. What we're doing is believing what the Word of God says, and love not the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove that which is good and acceptable and the
perfect will of God.
Perfect will of God. Amen. The perfect will of God. And it's so important that we keep in mind that we are not conforming to the world, Praise God. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm asking you this word here with the reading in First John 1 and verse 2 and 15. And we look at that because we're not the love of these world citizens. And that's what he's talking about. That's exactly what he's talking about. Because what happened is that if I say, well, God's not the love of the world, and then here come two new babies, another generation starting out, what it tells us is that God does not love what the enemy is doing or what others are doing. He loves us as a child of God because we are not being blind to the things of the adversary. Praise God.
Well, 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
You see, it's so important here that we understand that we are not to love these world systems. And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about the systems of this world. We are not to love the world. Praise God. Because the world will create all type of idolatry or idols in your presence where you won't see God the way that you're supposed to see him. Praise God. And the scripture tells us that that's what we are looking for. Amen. We're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees us. He sees everything we're doing. But there are days that's coming that he's going to look at what we're doing and that we're going to be able to see him. I hope you understand what I'm talking about here this morning. That he's watching over us all day. Praise God. He may not be saying anything, but he's watching over us every day. Praise God. So we have to take charge of what we're doing. But he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. We all know what that means. Transformed for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. This is what we want to read first.
Well, let's see what's in this world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes,
yes,
and the pride of life,
right,
is not of the Father, but is of the world. And isn't that something, how Jesus was tempted of those same things when he was up there being tempted by the devil after he had fasted 40 days? And here the enemy comes and try and tempt him of those same things that we're being tempted of today.
Yeah. Well, you see, when we're standing on the rock and holding the light of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, very little, if anything, will remove us from that light. But if you're standing on sand, you're not going to have the foundation that you have in order to not, in order to not allow the things of this world attract you to the point here, it'll suck you in. That is true. You know, these are the world systems, because if you really look at it, how people are trying and confuse the issue by saying that you love the world more than you love God. No, that's not true. I love God.
Amen.
But the thing is that you cannot hold or serve two masters.
Mm-hmm.
You hold one and despise the other. But the word of God is clear. The word is clear. And I want you to know out there in Radio Land that God loves you.
Amen.
And when we read this word in terms of 1 John 2 and verse 15, we'll see that we are not the love of the world system. I had a person one time come to me, well, he says that God so loved the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then you tell me that you're not to love the world. But let me tell you something. It may look at it like that way, but that's not what he's saying. You see, the world have all kinds of religious tentacles and things that they're doing, and they're trying to suck you in. And the more that people can suck in, the less people will get saved, because the scripture tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, God loves the world, and he loves his creation as well. But the point that Paul was making here is that he's telling us we are not to love the world. The world system.
You know, and it says the world passes away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father, glory to God, abideth forever.
Praise God. That's exactly what it is. When we love the Lord Jesus Christ, or love the word now, not the world, then we will abide forever, because the word is an eternal word. Praise God. It's an eternal word. Now, we know that the same thing happened in the book of Genesis, and now it's up in the New Testament, and it will go over, because people love this world system. In fact, they love this world system, and they should not love this world. Now, listen to what he said. Love not the world, nor the things in the world. And it's powerful. Don't love the things that are in the world. We have people that love houses and cars and money, and they don't realize that those things become idols if you don't watch it. Become an idol. And I tell you, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not put your hope and faith in these materialistic things that are in this world. You will love the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. And this is what you want to look at, what it tells us in 1 John 2 and verse 10. He said, love not the world. Mm-hmm. Now, there was a time when this brother approached me, and he said, well, how can you say that God doesn't love the world? Mm-hmm. I said, well, you have to find out what he's talking about. He's not speaking of his creation. He's speaking of the materialistic things that are going on in each and every one of our lives. And that's not good, especially when it's not what God wants. You know, it's so easy. It's so easy to allow things to get in between you and God. It happens all the time. But once you are convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit, then you realize that that's the wrong thing to do, and you're going to repent of it. Praise God. Amen. So, now, if you really look at it in Genesis there, you see where the same thing took place.
Yes.
Adam and Eve and the serpent.
Yeah.
It took place there. If Eve had continued on her journey, and just loving the Lord Jesus Christ, and not carrying on a dialogue between her and Satan, we wouldn't have to go through this. We wouldn't have to go through this morning and get experience. And I pray all out in the radio land and pray for my throat as well. Praise God. But it says, in love not the world nor the things in the world, for the love of the world
not in you.
And
the love of the, you gotta have the love of the Father.
Yeah.
When men love the world, the love
from
the Father is not in them.
That's true. There's not no conviction between what God said, that he loved the world, and what the scripture was saying.
Right. The world system.
The world system, yeah.
Right.
And these systems are very attractive
to
pull you into a snare.
Yep.
But we must keep in mind who is the God of this world.
Amen.
Satan is the God of this world.
Yes, he is.
And he's blind the mind of the children of disobedience. So what happens is that we cannot allow, no matter how good the thing that the world is producing, to pull us in to the world system. There are people who say that they think that they can jump out of the world at the last minute, but I'm going to tell you, it's not going to work that way. What's going to happen is that it's going to happen so fast, you're not going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is that you're going to go, wow, this is crazy, God.
Yeah.
So we are not
the
world.
Mm-hmm.
We are not the world.
Mm-hmm.
Not, it's not only the world, it's it, and the thing that in the world.
Right.
The thing. And look at, I look at the thing as, a manifestation of what took place in terms of being called out of the world, into the world. No, God called you out of the world to call you into the kingdom of God so that he could prune you and do what's necessary in order for you to get out there and save souls. Praise God. Now, the world, God created the world. So he wouldn't be telling you to hate that if it's not true.
Right.
He's talking about the world system.
Amen.
Amen. I need everybody out there in your land to understand that. The world system. You can't. If you can't love something that he hates.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is that there's no hatred in God.
No, it's not. He's all love.
Well, that's who he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's love.
Yes.
I think I mentioned on this a few weeks ago there concerning the love of God.
That's right.
But the point of the matter is that we are to love the Lord with all our hearts.
I always remember in Romans 5 and 8 when it says, "For God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us."
Amen, amen.
All he wants us to do is just repent and come to him and abide in him and let the words abide in you. And you can ask anything according to the will of the Father. Amen?
Amen, amen.
Mm-hmm.
When you repent of what you've done.
That's right. That's all he's asking. But he don't want any to perish. He wants all to come to repentance.
Yeah, he wants everybody. He wants everybody. He would have everybody saved. But they're not. They won't come to him. We know that everybody would not come to the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's why the Word of God says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. His promises are all yea and amen.
Amen.
As some men count slackness. But he's long-suffering. But we still have choices. But he's still long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's all he is asking.
And repentance means, it's not meaning that repentance is salvation. Repentance is change of mind. You change your mind, then you have to see the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life.
Mm-hmm. And that's why he doesn't want us to conform to this world, but the transforming of our mind. And the only way we're going to have our mind transformed is by reading his word and abiding in his word.
Amen. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way you can walk in the light is to walk in that word. Because the word is light.
Mm-hmm.
The word is God. And we need to keep in mind that no matter what's going on, we stay in that light.
Mm-hmm.
We stay transparent to that light.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people can see through us. There's no ignorance or anything that can cause us to try to operate in deception or anything. No. Paul said in the outline chapter, be not conformed to this world. And the world is always bringing sign to set up traps to trap a Christian.
That's right.
So he won't have the testimony.
Yep.
But God is good. God is good.
But God, we have the victory.
Well, yes, we have the victory because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, that's where sin was atoned for at the cross of Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is that through Jesus Christ dying on the cross for all of our sins, we can walk in victory.
Amen.
Praise God. Now, Paul is begging you. He says, I beseech you, brother.
Yes.
By the mercies of God, that you live your life and live in sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is a reasonable service. Well, I pray for everybody out there in radio land that I tell you what to pray for. Pray for my voice. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, boy. In the meantime, why not do something on this end as well?
Praise the Lord. So I'd like to extend an invitation to all those that have not received, and even the backslider. You can just repeat after me that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever, everybody said whosoever, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross of Calvary. Amen? Amen.
You know, Apostle Paul, when he was writing, I'm telling you, I know he had to have a lot of opposition because a lot of things were going on there. When you are concerned more about winning souls for the kingdom of God, when you're concerned about winning souls for the kingdom of God, there's going to be an outlash of the enemy against you.
Amen.
So try at all means to stop you. But when you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and realize that his word, because he says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, will be able to give you the spiritual strength where you can continue to do God's will. But I want to tell you out there in radio, man, I'm happy and I thank the Lord for it. And you pray for my strength in the Lord. Praise God. My strength. I tell you what to pray for, and God is good, and I give God this entire body because he's his. It's not mine. He just loaned it for us all for a period of time. But the thing is that we're to be strong in the Lord, in his word, make sure, and everything. And I thank you all out there in the land for tuning into the broadcast, because we have about another minute here to,
amen,
to actually wish everybody a happy new year, and that if you're starting this new year off right, then try and read the word of God and give the Lord all of the praise, because it's not about faith. It's not about you. It's not about anything that we're doing, because that's us. It's all about the grace of God. Well, I thank you out here in Radio Land for this wonderful opportunity to come into your home. And may the Lord bless you through this upcoming year. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach. Thank you.